Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast of Connecting Faith. Programs like this are made possible through the financial support of listeners like you. You can find out more or make a gift by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab on the homepage. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Good afternoon. Thanks for listening in to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem at Reynolds Health Controls. Grace Reif is screening the calls. Looking forward to having some good conversation with you today and talk about having something good on your lunch hour today. We're limiting what we're having for lunch. In fact, we're going to get involved in the Daniel Fast and find out more about that. And to help us, we have on the line with us the Daniel Fast blogger. That's what she's known as. We're talking about Daniel as in the Old Testament prophet, the book of Daniel. Susan Gregory has been corresponding with thousands of men and women who are seeking God through the spiritual discipline of prayer and fasting. And since its launch back in 2007, her site's received more than a million hits. Susan's written for nationally known preachers and ministries and has written Out of the Rat Race, one of her early books. She spent many years as a Bible teacher and a volunteer in her church and various Christian civic service groups. And she's traveled around the globe, a mom and a grandmom, and lives in a small farm in central Washington. And she's joining us today to talk about her new book, The Daniel Fast. And it includes the expanded edition with recipes and a 21-day plan, and is published by Tyndale. Susan, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, I'm so glad to be with you today, Neil. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is the lunch hour here across the Upper Midwest, so we're thinking about food, and we want to talk a little bit about fasting, and maybe we'll just start with a definition. First of all, is fasting only about food, or can we fast from TV or something like that?
Well, the biblical fast is always from food. In the Hebrew, the word fast is translated cover the mouth, and in the Greek, the word fast is translated to restrict food. So the biblical definition of a fast is to restrict food for a spiritual purpose. And all of the times in the scripture where you see people fasting, it always has to do about food. Now, it's a good thing to maybe abstain from television or another activity that may keep you from being able to give the amount of time that you'd like to the word and prayer and study and meditation. But fasting itself always has to do with food.
And you said the phrase for a spiritual purpose. So it's not just about food, but there's something more, right?
Absolutely. If we only change the way we eat, we're on a diet. And so a spiritual fast is always about, and we want that to be the number one thing, is always about for a spiritual reason. Now, there's many, many reasons why we will fast. Sometimes we'll go on a corporate fast where a church body or a cause will call a fast, and that's a time where they're asking people to set aside a time to put yourself in a consecrated position to focus on a particular need. Then there's also, we do an individual fast. Maybe we're having an issue with a, let's say, a marriage, or we're having financial challenges, or we want to learn something in the scriptures or learn something about our Christian life. Then we'll go on a fast so that we can have an intense time with the Lord. And we're setting this time aside. We're not doing our normal activity during a fast.
Does this become, thinking like it's simply, well, it's a principle to apply. If I fast, then God does this or something. I mean, can we make that connection that this is sort of a guaranteed religious path to a deeper experience?
Well, there's a mistake that people often think about fasting, and that is that fasting is to prove something to God, which is not the case. Fasting is for us. And the word says that as we draw near to the Lord, he will draw near to us. That's what we're doing during our fast. It's us aligning ourselves. We're learning more. We're developing our faith and centering ourselves on prayer and an intimate relationship with the Lord. Now, do those activities cause spiritual things to happen? Absolutely. But as far as God approving of us anymore because we've done well on a fast or thinking we're any better, that isn't anything to do with it. The only one who shows God who we are is Jesus. And so that's where we put our faith. He's the one that shows that we're righteous. He's the one that covers us with his blood and makes us clean and presentable to God. And so, but it's not anything we do. That's all up to Jesus.
We're talking about the Daniel fast. Susan Gregory is my guest. The subtitle of the new book is called Feed Your Soul, Strengthen Your Spirit, and Renew Your Body. Susan, give me a little background about maybe the first time that you fasted, and then let's get into talking about the Daniel fast.
The first time I ever fasted, I went on a 3-day water fast way back in the early 80s. And that was it was a good experience. I didn't really know a lot about fasting, but I had a friend tell me about it, and so I did go on a 3-day fast. Then I wanted more. I wanted to go deeper with God, and so I knew about the Daniel fast. The Daniel fast isn't anything I invented. It's based on the fasting experiences of the Old Testament prophet Daniel. And so I went on the Daniel fast, and I think the first year I did that, I've been doing the Daniel fast for many, many years now. I started writing about the Daniel fast in 2007, and that was when the Lord gave me, he spoke to me. It wasn't an audible voice, but it's one of those times when we know it's coming from the Lord and not coming from us, and he told me to write about the Daniel fast, and I'd spent a lot of time teaching and writing to Christians, and so I accepted that assignment. I thought it was a one-time assignment, and God knew it was a ministry. And actually, in your preview and talking about me, you said 1 million people to the site. That was, but now we're almost to 6 million people that have come to the Daniel-Fast.com website, and we've interacted with them, and I've got a team of wonderful, wonderful Christian people that answer questions and help people have a successful fast. We feel that's what our call is to help men and women who want to engage in this spiritual discipline where there's not been a lot of teaching about it in the recent decades, but people are now getting into entering a time of prayer and fasting. And so our call is to help men and women have a successful fast, and so that's why we teach about it and help people through that.
Give us the website again. So Daniel-Fast, right?
.com. Daniel-Fast.com.
All right. Let's define, what are we talking about, the Daniel fast? Obviously, if you have read the book of Daniel, it's a little verse in the first chapter, I think, isn't it?
Well, the Daniel fast that we practice today is actually based on two portions of Scripture in the book of Daniel. And that is, the first one is in Daniel 1:12. And that's when Daniel and his companions are in captivity in Babylon, and they are being groomed to handle many of the important jobs that are happening in Babylon. I won't go into the history there, but they were kind of the cream of the crop of the Jews that had been captured and brought to Babylon to conduct a lot of very important services. And so the king wanted the very best for them, and so he told his stewards, feed these people the very best food, feed them the same food I eat. And so when Daniel was served that food, he knew two things. One, the meat had not been prepared using the strict Jewish principles of preparing meat. The second was the food had been already dedicated to the Babylonian false gods. And so in Daniel 1:12, he says, please test your servants for 10 days and let them feed us only vegetables and eat only water to drink. Now, the older versions of the Bible, going back to the Hebrew, instead of the word vegetables, it uses the word pulse, which means food grown from seed. And so that's one of the main things about the Daniel fast, is that it's a completely plant-based eating plan. And then the second set of scriptures that we use are in Daniel 10, and that's another time when the prophet was fasting. And from Daniel 10:3, it says, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And so from those scriptures, we eliminate all kinds of sugars and desserts and fancy foods, also leavened bread. That was a common practice for Jews going back to the Passover when no leavening was eaten. And so the Daniel fast, I describe it as a vegan diet with more restrictions. So it's all fruits, vegetables, whole grains, healthy oils, beans, legumes, and foods like that. And then we don't have any sweeteners at all. The only beverage is water. We eliminate any kind of chemicals and food additives. And, yeah, that's about kind of the general part of the Daniel fast.
21 days, right?
And generally 21 days. There's no definite period of time. Most people go on the Daniel fast for at least 10 days. Some people go on it for 40 days. I've used the Daniel fast for as many as 50 days. It's a very healthy way to eat. And it's depending on how you're led by God to fast and what you're called to do, what your purpose of fasting is about. And so it's most often it is 21 days, however.
Susan Gregory. She's the Daniel Fast blogger, and she's written a new book which summarizes all that we need to know about the Daniel Fast. Feed your soul, strengthen your spirit, and renew your body. The book from Tyndale includes recipes and a 21-day plan, which is not just a plan, but really a Daniel Fast devotional. Very insightful and helpful. We're going to talk more with Susan in a minute. Would love to talk with you, too. I mean, out of the 6 million or so that have gone to the site, perhaps you're one of those who have participated in the Daniel Fast or a fast of another kind. We'd love to hear your story. You can find out why you chose to fast, exercise that spiritual discipline, and how it made a difference in your life, what God maybe taught you through it, and we'll hear more from Susan, and love to hear from you as well. So join the conversation at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. We've got 4 copies of the book we'd be happy to give away. We'd love to have you join the conversation. So call us right now. Phone lines open, 877-933-2484. We're talking fasting today with Susan Gregory. At 17 past the hour, this is Connecting Faith, and my guest today is Susan Gregory. Susan has written for a number of years online about the Daniel Fast and has put all her work into a nice summary book, which includes recipes and a 21-day plan. It's called the Daniel Fast from Tyndale. Susan is my guest today. Susan, we want to take some calls, by the way, too, at 877-93-FAITH. But maybe one of the things we should talk about, are there some medical reasons or some things that we need to do before we consider fasting? How do we start, or is there some things to do before we start?
Well, first of all, Neil, if you have some medical issues, some health issues, or if you are pregnant or a nursing mother, or let's say you're an athlete that does a lot of workout, you want to make sure that this is okay with your doctor. I tell people, I said, you know, consult your doctor, but pray to your great physician. And so while the Daniel Fast is a very healthy way to eat, you do still need to make sure that if you're under medical treatments of any kind, that you check with your family doctor. But there are some things that you want to do, even if you're in perfect health, to prepare for this fast. One of the big ones is caffeine. There's caffeine in coffee, tea, and soft drinks, as well as chocolate and many other foods. You want to wean yourself off caffeine because there's absolutely no caffeine on the Daniel fast. And so by the time you start your fast, you want to be prepared because otherwise the symptoms you get, the withdrawal symptoms, can be pretty severe headaches and leg cramps as well as a lot of fatigue. And you also want, about a week before the fast, increase your intake of water, start flushing your system out, and try to wean yourself off a lot of sugary foods and fast foods that have a lot of chemicals in them. So, and then that's the physical part. But we also want to enter into a time, even as we're preparing for the fast, into our spiritual walk with that. And that is, pray to the Lord. Ask him about, to bring things to mind about what you can center on during your Daniel fast and this time of fasting. You want to look at your calendar and say, what are some things that I can eliminate or make sure that I've got time so I'm going to be able to spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer, spend time in study. And you'll want to look at even how you spend your day. Is there a set-aside time you want? If you haven't already done that in your spiritual life, do you want to set a time every single day where you will meet with the Lord? And these are the kinds of disciplines that many people adopt during their Daniel fast and then carry on forward because they see what an amazing benefit it has to their lives as they spend more time in the Word and with the Lord.
You mentioned particularly caffeine, some of the headaches of withdrawal, things. I mean, what's maybe the worst part or the most difficult part of a fast? I guess, 21 days, you wouldn't do that just liquid only, probably. But there are some part of it is that you are setting aside something, and there's going to be some challenge with that, right?
That's right. Well, the Daniel fast is what's called a partial fast, and that's when some foods are restricted and others are eaten. A normal fast is when only water is consumed, and an absolute fast is like what Moses went on when there's no water and no food, and that's not really advisable just because of the challenges that is to the physical body. But the Daniel fast is a partial fast, and so we're giving up some foods. Those are restricted, and that's one of the great things about fasting is we have immediate opportunities to challenge and exercise in our spirit and our life with the Lord over our flesh. Because when you want to have that cup of coffee, but it's not allowed on the Daniel fast, or you want to have that piece of bread, and it's not allowed on the Daniel fast, then we have kind of hand-to-hand combat with our spirit and our flesh. And so it's a very, very powerful experience to help us build our faith muscles. But I think there's a couple things that are difficult, challenging about the Daniel fast. One is the first few days. Because for most people, this is a fairly radical change in the way they eat, even though it is very healthy and very good for your body. It's a radical change. And so there may be some fatigue and your brain may feel a little fuzzy. And that's one of the reasons that I really encourage people to prepare for the fast so that by the time they enter the fast on their first day, they're not going to have those kinds of symptoms. And then another one of the challenges is the actual foods that we need to eat on the Daniel fast we need to prepare most of those foods. Because most of the food that we have, particularly in the United States and North America and many of the European countries, they are pretty laden with chemicals and sugar and a lot of additives. And in fact, what people are absolutely amazed when they start reading, when they start reading the labels and the ingredients that are on prepared foods, they're shocked at the amount of sugar and the amount of chemicals that are in foods. So I do encourage people to plan and prepare for their fast so that they can set aside time to prepare the meals. And I cover a lot of that in the book of some ways that you can, cook only a few times a week, but then have your meals for several times a week and some different things to help people because it is more time consuming.
We want to take some calls and hear from you if you've been involved in fasting and just to hear a little bit about your story, why, and maybe some of the outcomes of that. 877-93-FAITH is the phone number, 877-933-2484. You can also go online. It's faithradionet.com, faithradionet.com. And there you can click on the Connecting Faith show page, and there's an email link. Let's go to Sean, first listening in Hudson. Sean, this is a question I was going to get to anyway. You were talking about fasting with the family, right? Tell us your question.
Well, I was kind of wondering, it seems to me like people are normally called to fast. And so, like, for your husband and children, do they just get included in the diet? I know it's a healthy diet, but Also, if you sit down and have a meal with your family, usually you fast, and during the time you would normally be eating is when you would take time and spend praying or you know, listening to God. And so how do you fit that in with the family, I guess? And you know, should they be included in the fast even though you're called to it and they may not be? And do you understand what I'm asking?
Sure. Great questions. Thanks, Sean.
Hi, Sean. That is a good question. Many families do fast together, and it's a family opportunity together for building their faith as a family. But a fast should only be something that people want to do. And so in the situation that you mentioned, where let's say you were the only one on the fast, then there's a couple ways that you can approach that. First of all, one of the great things that I love doing and people that are on the Daniel fast love doing is using that meal preparation time, which, you know, granted, we need to think a little bit while we're preparing meals, but a lot of it is mindless kind of activities. So those are wonderful times that we can pray, we can spend memorizing scripture, we can have on teaching CDs, praise music, all kinds of things. And that's all part of the spiritual experience of fasting, even when we're preparing Daniel fast meals. As far as the meals that you prepare for your family, the Daniel fast is very, very healthy. And so you can prepare all, you know, most of the meals, let's say chilies and soups and salads and those kinds of things. But then let's say they want to have fish and chicken, and so they can have those additional animal proteins in the meal. And then you would just choose not to have that. You would maybe have something else. So you can still eat together as a family. It's not something where you want to, you know, act anything like poor me or anything like that. In fact, this is a wonderful opportunity to be a witness to other members of your family. And you can, many people do choose to use the time that they would eat to pray and study and interact with the Lord. But on the Daniel fast, that isn't as common. That's more common during the normal fast when people are only drinking water.
You mentioned protein. Judy had asked, what's the requirement for eating protein in the Daniel fast?
Well, there is plenty of protein on the Daniel fast. And because of what's available in beans and legumes and leafy green vegetables, whole grains has plenty of protein in it. So there's really not a problem with protein on the Daniel fast, except in those cases with people who are very athletic, and they need extra protein to rebuild in their bodies, and for women who are nursing or who are pregnant. And so in those cases, I encourage people to go ahead and plan all their meals according to the Daniel fast, but then add in small portions, appropriate portions of lean fish and chicken and meat and those kinds of foods.
Okay. We're talking about fasting today, but particularly about the Daniel fast. Susan Gregory is my guest. Susan has been writing on this as a calling from God for a number of years. In fact, they've been blogging since 2007. She's known as the Daniel Fast Blogger. Regular correspondence with thousands of men and women about the Daniel fast. Her website, it's daniel-fast.com. We'll put a link up on our webpage as well. We've got some calls that we'll get to here just on the other side of the break, and would love to have you join the conversation. You know, questions about the hows and the what and the why and all that. We'll try and get to as many of your questions as we can. We do have some copies of the book. I think 4 copies of the Daniel Fast would be happy to give away. It'd be a nice resource. This book includes the number of new recipes and a 21-day devotional plan. The recipes looked great just looking at them. You know, as you said, you called it sort of, a vegan diet, right, with a few other limitations.
That's right. The food is really very, very good, and I often hear from people after they've been on the fast say, can I do this all the time? Because, oh, boy, you end up feeling so good. Your body is cleansed and filled with the foods that were created by the same one who created our bodies, and so it's a pretty amazing experience.
All right, we've got some calls that we'll get to in just a couple minutes, so thanks for your calls. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. 2484, and we'll learn a little bit more about the Daniel fast and learn how we can put this spiritual discipline to practice and to see God do some work in our lives for us to draw close to Him. 877-93-FAITH or online is faithradionet.com. And you can click on the Connecting Faith show page for the email link. I'm back in 2 minutes. You're listening to Connecting Faith, 1232. My guest is Susan Gregory, who is known as the Daniel Fast blogger. She has done a lot of writing, Bible teaching, authored Out of the Rat Race, and lives in a small farm in central Washington, which is a great place to just enjoy good produce and good food. And she has put together a lot of the details and information about the Daniel Fast in the new book from Tyndale called The Daniel Fast. We've got some copies to give away for those that join in the broadcast. Do a little drawing for that, 877-93-FAITH. Susan, just maybe to review of those who maybe just tuned in, the difference between the Daniel Fast and like a water fast, or difference between a fast and a diet, but just define it again.
Okay. Well, there are three kinds of fasting. There's absolute fast. That's when both food and water restricted. Moses did an absolute fast. We don't recommend that. That's a very challenging experience for the physical body. A normal fast, and very, very common, is when only water is consumed. Sometimes people also just liquids, maybe fruit juices, but that would be considered a normal fast. And then the other kind of fast, which the Daniel fast is one of them, is a partial fast. And that's where some foods are consumed, but others are restricted. And the thing that's so great about the Daniel fast for today's Christians and people who are really, you know, want to experience this spiritual discipline is that the Daniel fast is an extended fast. We're to do it for a longer period of time. And in our busy lives with all the demands that we have on us, it's very easy to go on a Daniel fast, or we can work it into our lives to go into an extended period of time of prayer and fasting, because we're not drinking only water, which really does have some challenges to the body. So let's see, did I cover those?
Yeah, no, that's good. No, so okay. Well, let me just take Rose's call. She's been waiting here on Connecting Faith. Rose, you had a question about fasting for Susan Gregory. Go ahead.
Yes, what I was wondering is how you're talking about the book of Daniel and how he fasted, and that's what your program follows. What I'm wondering is, how does that relate to Christians today, and is there fasting involved in the New Testament?
You know, there is a lot of fasting in the New Testament, although it's not really highlighted, because that was so normal in the Jewish life of entering times of prayer and fasting. But Jesus taught about fasting. He told the people, he said, when you fast, you know, do not look like the hypocrites with us, you know, your sad countenance and the disfigurement. So he didn't, you know, it wasn't like, okay, now that I've come, we're no longer going to fast. He says, when you fast, because it's, you want it to be authentic, you want it to be real. You're not fasting to prove anything to anybody else. You're fasting. This is an experience between you and the Lord. Paul, many times were cited times where he fasted. So, and even when let's see, I think it was Ananias, when he was before he met Paul, he was in a period of prayer and fasting. So it was very, very common in the New Testament as well.
We often hear the words prayer and fasting go together. Is that it? And how is there maybe a benefit to prayer by fasting?
It is. There again, this is a. It's like when you go on a vacation you plan for your vacation, you know that you're going to do different activities on your vacation for this short period of time, and you've got a definite purpose for why you're on your vacation. The same is true of a period of fasting, is you want to prepare for it, you are going to act differently on it, and you have a purpose for it. Now, in the Daniel fast or any type of fast, you want to have a purpose for your fast. If you don't, you're just entering into a time where you're changing the way you eat, which is merely a diet. And so that's not what we want to do. In fact, one of the concerns that I have about the people on the Daniel fast these days is there's been so much focus on the food that it has kind of become the, you know, in many circles, the Christian vegan diet. And that's not what we want. This is a spiritual experience. And so you definitely want, as you're planning your time and using your days during your fast, you want to have time where you're going to be studying about something of your Christian life that you want to develop. Perhaps you've got a special need that needs God's intervention, or you're intercessing for someone. So the core of it, the focus of your fast is for interacting with God in your spiritual life. Then comes the food part. So it's really important to keep the, you know, first things first in that. And, Neil, let me just give you a couple examples of the kinds of things that happen when people enter a time of prayer and fasting. Is one of the big things is that they draw closer to the Lord. And many, I hear countless reports from people that they have never had as close a relationship with the Lord as when they were on the Daniel fast. And again, it's because they've got that daily time that they're spending in the Word, they're spending in prayer, and they're focusing their attention on Him. Not long ago, I got an email from a woman who had been estranged from her son for 15 years. And so during her Daniel fast, she started praying for him. I get emotional. Sorry. She started praying for him and interceding for him, asking the Holy Spirit to speak to his spirit. And during her Daniel fast, this son who she had not spoken to for 15 years called her, and they made arrangements to meet. I've heard from people who have been out of work, and they go on the Daniel fast and they start praying about God opening doors, and they start learning about how they can align themselves with the scriptures, align themselves with the commandments of Jesus, and then we walk in the favor of God, and they start getting interviews, or they start getting jobs. And it's an amazing experience. As children of the Most High God, we have got so many benefits that we can tap into, but we've got to learn how to walk in that kingdom experience. And that's not something that we learn part-time. And so when we enter a time, a focused time of prayer and fasting, it's kind of like going into a cram course time where we're saying, okay, for these next 3 weeks, I'm going to center my attention for, you know, daily. I'm going to spend an hour in study, and I'm going to learn about prayer, or I'm going to learn about how to, you know, follow some of the commandments that Jesus talks about. I'm going to learn how to love better, or a really powerful one is I'm going to learn how to receive the amazing love that God has for me. That's a real challenge that people have. So often they don't feel worthy of God's love, and therefore we end up blocking ourselves from receiving it. So the spiritual experience of the fast really needs to be on the forefront, and the benefits we have is a powerful spiritual experience, but we've got to set ourselves up for it. If we're only going on a diet, if we're only changing the way we eat, then we miss out on the powerful benefits that are available from spending this daily time with the Lord and allowing Him, allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and work with us, comfort us, teach us, talk to us. And it's an amazing experience.
Thanks for sharing that, Susan. Good insight. Let's go to Linda. Linda has been doing the Daniel fast for some years. Thanks for calling in, Linda. You're on with Susan Gregory.
Hi, Susan. My question is, how is the longest amount of time that a person should be on the fast, or the shortest? And how do you yourself determine the lengths of time to be used? Because, like, the Bible doesn't really explain a lot, but I would definitely welcome your insight.
All right, thanks.
Sure. Thanks for that question, Linda. The Daniel fast, and that's why the subtitle of my book is Feed Your Soul, Strengthen Your Spirit, and Renew Your Body. In today's culture, when we've got 30% of the American public obese, clearly our bodies need some help. And so the Daniel fast is an incredibly healthy way to eat, where people are able to balance their blood sugar with food. Many people with type 2 diabetes are able to totally eliminate their medications while they're on the Daniel fast because of the way they're eating. People with high cholesterol are astounded by the way their body reacts to the Daniel fast. And for instance, one man wrote me not too long ago. He had just been to the doctor before going on the Daniel fast. His cholesterol count was 356. And after just 21 days on the Daniel fast, it was down to 150. And so it's and then people generally lose weight if they choose. Now, there's ways if you don't need to lose weight during the Daniel fast or want to, there's some ways that you can make sure you're eating foods that are high enough in fats and calories to maintain your weight. So to have the really good physical experience and have it impact your body, you really need to be on it for at least nine or ten days. And again, we don't make food the focus. We don't make the diet or even the health benefits the focus. We want to always couple it with the spiritual benefits. But I would say for the Daniel fast to have its really full effect, you 7 to 8 or 9 days is really the shortest amount. Now, as far as extending the fast, like I say, I've gone on the Daniel fast for as many as 50 days, and I did that a couple years ago. Many people use the Daniel fast for 40 days. Oftentimes, people use the Daniel fast for Lent. The Daniel fast is a method of fasting. It's not like a called fast. Like Lent is a called fast, and people, more and more people, are using the Daniel fast for their Lenten fast. And that's where they during Lent there are 40 days of fasting. However, there's many more days between the first day of Lent, Ash Wednesday, and Easter, and that's because in that discipline you do not fast on Sundays. So many people use the Daniel fast for that. So part of your question, how do you know how long you should fast? And that really is a thing between you and the Lord. There have been many times when I've said, okay, I'm going to use the Daniel fast for a period of 10 days of fasting. I get to that 10th day, and I thought, you know, I sense that the Lord wants me to continue with this. There's more work that I need to do. And so I'll just continue, and pretty soon I'll feel like, okay, I get the release, and it's time to complete the fast. Most people go on the Daniel fast for 21 days, and that's for two reasons. One is because Daniel cites in the 10th chapter that he went on the fast for 21 days. Also, there is a huge movement and trend. More and more people starting the new year with prayer and fasting, and that is generally a three-week period where Christians throughout the world, literally hundreds of thousands of Christians throughout the world, are starting the new year with prayer and fasting. And so they most often use the Daniel fast as their method of fasting to go on this fast.
Which kind of gets us back to corporate fasting, too. But there's some, and whether it's Lent or whatever it might be, there is some advantage to doing this, not just as an individual, too, right?
Yes, there are. It's so wonderful that we are members of a body of Christ, and so we can support each other. We can join together in causes that need our prayer, and so it's very, very powerful to do it together. Many, many churches enter the new year with a period of prayer and fasting, and so what are the benefits? Again, it's not just eating. Generally, the pastor will say, okay, we want to see, what is God leading us as a body of believers? How is he leading us to minister to our community this year? Or how is he leading us to take care of the family of God right here within our church? And so people enter into a time of prayer and fasting with the expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to do what he says he will do, which is teach us and guide us and direct us. And so it's a very, very powerful experience. We have, you know, God says that he will hear our prayers, but he also says, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. And the Lord will speak to us, but we have to open ourselves up. We have to quiet ourselves down from all of the noise that's in our daily lives so that we can hear from him. And so, again, that's one of the benefits of setting this time apart so that we have an isolated time where we're really aligning ourselves, putting ourselves in position to hear from the Lord. And it's more and more people are learning the benefits. And in fact, I'm sure Linda she said she's been fasting many years. I'm sure she's had some very powerful experiences when we focus our attention on our Father.
Aligning ourselves with God is really what we've been talking about today, but one of the ways to do that, we've been talking about the Daniel fast, and we'll continue more with Susan Gregory in just a moment, and we have time for a few more calls, too. If you have some specific questions about the Daniel fast, you can call us at 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Susan Gregory is the Daniel fast blogger. She has authored the new book, which includes clear teaching about how to feed your soul, strengthen your spirit, and renew your body. And there's a 21-day plan in there as well. We'll continue in just a minute. It's 49 past the hour, and you're listening to Connecting Faith. Susan Gregory is my guest today. You can read more of her writings online at daniel-fast.com. We're talking about the Daniel fast. And one of the press statements I'd just like you to react to, Susan, says, sometimes when you're so hungry, the only way to be fed is to fast. And it certainly seems like in our nation, we are a nation of appetites, uncontrolled appetites in many ways.
That's right. But the hunger that I was talking about in that quote is the hunger for God. We also, while we may be way overweight as far as our physical bodies in this country, there is a deep hunger for God, even among the followers of Christ. And so many people, and I think that that's why so many people are turning to the what I call the ancient discipline, because it's been around for thousands of years, the discipline of fasting. But many people are turning to it because our lives are so busy. There's so many demands on our time and so many pressures that when we can enter into the time, this time that we set aside, a consecrated period, to focus and say, okay, for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to open my heart. I'm going to get up maybe earlier every morning and spend some quiet time with the Lord. I'm not going to go to lunch during work anymore. I'm going to spend that time in prayer or study or how, you know, whatever ways it works for us. Then they come out of this period with knowing God better, knowing the Word better, knowing how to have a kingdom experience better. And it is a life-changing experience.
And I, you know, is it safe to assume that it's sort of like maybe a ratchet wrench where we sort of turn it up a notch, that it's a lot less likely that we'll keep slipping back into some of those old maybe habits before, as we had before?
Absolutely. In many ways, old habits from our spiritual walk as well as old habits in eating. So many people, they never even have considered going on a vegan diet, and I'm not advocating vegan diet lifestyle, although many people do that, and it's healthy for them. But when people enter into a time where a 21-day period or this time where they're cleansing their body and eating different foods, their body likes it. I hear from over and over again, messages like, I have not felt this good since I was in my 20s, and I hear that from 40 and 50-year-olds, or I've not felt this good for the last 10 years, or, you know, what happened to my arthritis? I no longer have those leg aches, and my joints no longer hurt. And it's because it's a very, very healthy way to eat, and it doesn't have all the sugar and all the chemicals and all of those additives that are really, really hard on our body. But one of the most powerful things is people get into a discipline of spending daily time with the Lord. And it's not necessarily just that set-aside time that we may have in the morning or whatever time is most suitable for people, but we start thinking about him all day long. And so even while we're driving our cars or taking a walk or doing mindless functions, we are thinking about the Lord. And pretty soon we start feeling that we are renewed, and the power of God is working on us. And in Romans 12, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so that's part of the experience we have on the Daniel Fast. We are being transformed as we center our attention on God's Word and His principles, and we engage in the living, the power that is in His Word, and we become transformed. So by the end, we are not the same. And so we want to carry those things, those truths that we've learned, and we want to carry those into our daily life after the fast.
Now, let's take a couple of quick calls here before our time is gone. Dennis, listening in Faith 1200, go ahead. You have time for a quick call.
Well, my original question was, what is the advantage over the Daniel fast to a normal fast? And you have answered that pretty thoroughly, so I'm wondering if I could make two other comments.
Yeah, if you can do it quickly, sure.
I'm wondering how you feel about, I believe one of my gifts is encouragement, and it's so easy to tell somebody that you're praying for them. But if you add that I will spend 5 days fasting and praying over this concern, it gives them the assurance that, hey, you are serious, and I think that's a great encouragement to people. My second comment is that for somebody who has never fasted before and they think it's impossible, they could never do that. I'm a big guy. I weigh 225. I'm 6'2". I love to eat. But day one is maybe your toughest day, and our bodies are spoiled. But when God knows you're serious and wanting to draw close to Him, it gets easy. It really does. And a five-day fast is the longest I've ever done, but it's not a difficult thing, and the rewards are so worth it.
Dennis, thanks for your call. Susan, I'll give you an opportunity to react.
Well, he has experienced the fast. I can tell by the excitement and the sincerity that is in his voice. One of the things is people, you can't really know the benefits of entering into a time of prayer and fasting until you've done it. And so that's what I heard from Dennis, is he said, yeah, that first day is tough, but when you get into it and you get into the flow, you get into the experience, it is an amazing experience. People are excited about doing the Daniel fast, and so it's a great experience. And I loved what he said about the using his gift as an encourager and the blessing that we can be to other people. And those are also things that we can even start asking the Lord, what is my gifting? What are the things that you have raised me up for? And those are the kind of discoveries that we can have and get when we're in a time of prayer and fasting.
Let's try and squeeze in one more call. Kathy in Apple Valley, you got about 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Yes, her comment is, the focus of the fast is spiritual, but I'm wondering, does she use organic food or purified water or supplements? And then I have another question, too.
Yeah, why don't you just go ahead with that one, too? So.
I'm wondering, this is about Daniel's fast, but what about Esther's fast when she called her people to fast and pray before she went before the king?
Okay, I've got about a minute, Susan.
Well, as far as the organic foods, I do encourage people to use organic foods. But it's not required, and that's in everyday. eating, but it's not required. As far as using purified water, it depends on the quality of water that you have in your area. And again, that's while you're fasting as well as other times. There's a lot of issues that you can, you know, there's not, a lot of places don't have very safe drinking water. And as far as supplements, if people use protein drinks, there are soy-based unsweetened protein drinks that people can use. And as far as using supplements and medications, then people should continue on that. So
we need to wrap up. Just a word on, are you going to be writing on Esther's fast, or have you, on your blog?
I, you know, I've